Aloha and welcome to another preview episode of the Ohana Packers Edition podcast, the podcast where two dudes from halfway across the world talk everything green gold. I'm Mike, and that's Iowa Joe. Tonight, we're checking in on the Packers as before they face the Kansas City Chiefs in a monumental game in Week 13 as the Packers try to climb back to 500. Joe, before we go into this one, it's pretty good to be back on the upward trend. How are you feeling going into this game?
I don't know. I mean, I kind of mentioned this in the chat earlier on Lombardi's Bar that the way it's at this season, I don't care one way or another. I mean, obviously you care as a fan if they win or not, but overall, I'm not really big on the wins and losses this year as long as we can still see continued growth and they continue to mesh. I mean, there's that small side of me that wishes they would have just lost everything and got like a top draft pick. Cause I've always said that I've always wanted to see in my lifetime, the Packers get like the number one overall pick because in my lifetime, I don't think it's ever happened yet. I think the closest was the Mandarich pick and that was the third overall pick. So I've always said that, but you know, one way or the other, I don't think we're going to be in a position draft wise to, you know, I don't think we're going to be high enough anyway. So it's not worth trying to go for the draft picks. We're not really, you know, knock on wood right now looking for a quarterback. So we're not going to be in that, you know, Caleb Williams and what's the other Drake May, sweepstakes, so we're not going to pay the price to try to move up to get them. So it's just better to just, I guess my overall thing is, like I said, just continue to play the games and continue to mesh that way. Next year, if we can, you know, if everything carries over to next year, then possibly we can start talking playoffs. I really think it's too strong of a, or too, soon to be thinking about a playoff team. I know that's the talk right now that the Packers have, you know, are still alive in the playoff hunt. But unless some miracle happens that they get in the playoffs and go on a miracle run, it's just not worth being a playoff team this year.
My whole thing with it is that, so I definitely agree that the most important thing is seeing growth over the course of the year. I think we've seen that the last month, so obviously you want to see that continue to happen. But on top of that, I do want to see this team have something to play for because I get what you're saying, that they're really a year away from being that team. But I do want to see what they're able to do if that opportunity arises this season. You know, I don't even want to say immature, but are they too young for the moment kind of thing? Or are they going to, yeah, which side of the coin? Are they going to be too young for the moment? Or are they going to be too young to know better, like too young to care kind of thing? So I am curious to see, because their postseason chances are firmly in their own grasp. And I know that, so basically if they win out, which is very unlikely, if they win out, they're in. They're definitely in the playoffs. And even if they lose this weekend, I think their destiny is still basically in their hands, especially if Seattle loses tonight against the Cowboys. But it's fun. It's just kind of, like you said, it's more of a icing on top and it's kind of more semantics because the main thing is the growth that we've seen from this team, particularly on the offense. But I'm just glad that the team is playing well enough that it's even a conversation worth having at this point. So
right. It's nice to hear him talk about it. I know
what you're saying though. I definitely understand what you're saying because it's flipping that coin of like, they're not like, if they make it, it's a great story, but they're not going to do anything unless lightning strikes three times in a row kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. And, yeah. You know, do you give them, how do I want to put this? It's not like false hope because yeah, they made the playoffs, but you know, they're really not going to do anything in the playoffs unless, you know, a miracle happens. And, or do you just go ahead and sink everything into this year? let them continue to grow, and then put all your eggs in the basket next year. Because by the time you hit the end of the season, you're going to say, all right, well, we know we're going to need this position so we can start, you know, we'll do that with the draft, or we'll pick up a couple of free agents in this in, and then hopefully that'll be our pieces, and then we can make a full run on it next year.
Yeah. So lots of things to look forward to, but before, you know, we put the cart fully ahead of the horse, there's a big game, back-to-back, really, for all intents and purposes, prime-time games for the Packers. Jordan and the offense played really well on Thanksgiving, and hoping to see them carry it forward, but it's going to be another tough one because the Packers are, again, going to be a banged-up group, so banged up that James Robinson was cut on Monday and re-signed to the practice squad today, along with Bo Melton.
Those didn't surprise me too much because Melton and Robinson still have call-ups that they can be used on. So,
and like, I know some are kind of asking, like, then why bring them up to the 53? But the whole point is that you bring them up to the 53 and then you can still call up more guys from the practice squad, which is what they did. So,
well, and on top of that, and I could be completely wrong because I'm not a cap guy. I don't know. This would be something somebody'd have to ask, like a Ken Ingles or something. But I'm pretty sure there's a penalty if you don't have a certain amount of players on the active roster in a week. And I don't know if it's like consecutive weeks or if it's by a certain
time. I vaguely remember that, but I don't know the super fine print on that one, because I know the Packers have definitely rolled with 52 for like a week and stuff like that, but I think
there's a minimum that you
can't. I think they were under, at like 51 or 50 or something like that. So
And that could have been the whole reason. And you know, I think the honest truth is they weren't sure what the Jones situation was going to be.
Yeah.
So they didn't know if they were going to have to put him on IR, if they were going to have to do whatever. But it sounds like he's kind of missed a major thing. So, you know, they're taking it day to day. And then on top of that, they had to open up a couple spaces because I know you got this in the notes, but, you know, they did open up the window for both Darnell Savage and Eric Stokes.
And it sounds pretty promising for Savage. Like it basically, the way LaFleur worded it on Monday is that he didn't go explicitly and say it, but he stopped just short of the cliff of saying, if that game was on Monday instead of on Thanksgiving or on Sunday instead of Thanksgiving, Savage probably gets activated for the game. So yeah, I always figured that was kind of going to be the case. Like it always seemed weird that he gets his startup before a short week, but it is kind of, I do think that signaled that he was pretty much fully healthy coming out of the 4-week IR window. And so, you know, it was just like, it's not enough of a ramp up period. Let's just wait another week kind of thing and stuff. So I do think, I agree with you. I think one of those roster spots is going to be for Savage. And I'm curious if what they're going to do with Stokes, because do they wait another week like with Savage, or do they just activate him and deactivate him, like make him one of the inactives come Sunday kind of thing? So
could be. Then, of course, you got the other guy on the tackle.
Oh, Tenuta.
And he's got to be, I know they have to make a decision on him pretty
soon. Yeah. I keep seeing him being listed as part of the rehab group. But the thing is so I it's kind of confusing how the Packers beat writers do it, because they'll just talk about who's there. But I think there's like the way it works is, as long as you're on someone's IR, you can quote unquote use the facilities to rehab. But as long as you don't, what you do during a practice doesn't constitute participating in a practice setting, there's like this weird divide and stuff. So like, and the way you can tell it is Tenuta is not on the injury report, whereas Savage and Stokes are. Stokes was before when he came off of PUP and stuff. So yeah, I don't think Tenuta's window is open, but I know it is funky how they keep listing him there. And he's the only one who's like constantly listed as part of the IR group, but he's never actually been he hasn't had the 21-day window open. He's just like riding the bike on the side.
But I think they're still going to have to make a decision on him soon, to where they're either going to have to put him on full IR or...
I think the only time that decision really comes in is if they hit the end of the... if they're in the playoff and they hit the end of the regular season. But I don't think they're... I'd have to go double check it, but I don't think there's like a, you must activate a guy. Like, I guess the only thing I can see is like when week 16 comes around, it's like they have to open the 21-day window so that it's open before the season would end, kind of thing and stuff. So I'm not exactly sure how that works out exactly, but sounds like it's promising news on particularly Savage's case, but also on Stokes. I don't have it in the notes here, but kind of a neat snippet from Luke Musgrave this week where he's basically talking about why he kept playing with a lacerated kidney.
Yeah.
He basically said, like, my dad's a coach and I was coached that I don't, like, just lay down on the field kind of thing and stuff like that.
In my eyes, it basically means he has no brain and just ran out there because he was forced to.
Maybe that's why he trips and falls down all the time, because he just has no center of gravity from being ping pong balled around his whole life.
I can't say much, because after I tore my ACL, I went out and finished out the rest of the season without an ACL. But I was also a stupid idiot, friggin' 16-year-old kid. This is a 20-something-year-old friggin' making millions of dollars. There's a little bit of difference.
But it sounds like I retweeted it kind of tongue-in-cheek, but also pretty serious, that I'm like, I'm pretty sure he's coming back, unless the team, like, just totally is like, no, you're not coming back. I get the feeling more likely than
I
not
don't
come
know.
Back.
I know. I know he wants to, but a lacerated kidney, it's going to depend on how bad the laceration was.
Yeah.
And everybody knows how conservative the Packer doctors are.
Yeah.
So if they say, no, we're not going to risk it, you're just going to sit, then he's going to sit no matter what he wants to do.
Yep. So we'll see. Only time will tell,
but he's a tough son of a bitch. I mean, yeah. There's no doubt about it. I like I said, I can't say anything about a lacerated kidney, but I did finish out a season. You know, I wasn't a starter or anything, but I at least was at practice and shit like that. With
you're playing on a leg that don't work, so
yeah. So, I mean, I've been there. I've done it. Well, with me, we didn't know it was a torn ACL until after the season, because I was listening to idiot people. But that's a whole nother long ass story for a different day. But it just, you know, you got to give them props for going out and, you know, playing after it happens. And, you know, you got to, in a way, with the type of injury he suffered, you also got to call him an idiot, because it's like, well, you could have seriously done something. You know, you could have had a DeMar Hamlin situation because you have a lacerated kidney. You know, that's not like a minor thing. You know, they could have been hauling your ass out. So yep. You got to be a little bit more cautious on this stuff.
Yep. So, but outside of that, it was a loaded injury report for the Packers. The key ones were the DNPs. So you had AJ Dillon and Aaron Jones out today, along with Jaden Reed. Jaden Reed did miss some practice last week and was able to play on the short. Well, they didn't really practice last week, but he was listed as like a DNP one, at least one of the days. So probably a rest day. I know he did participate back on Monday when they had kind of like a shells practice and stuff. But other than those three, everybody else participated in some regard.
I'm wondering if the Dillon one is just a rest, because he's been dealing with the groin for a bit. So I'm wondering if it's just a day off to let him,
especially
relax.
Because Jones is probably out this week too, just because I know they said it's an MCL sprain and it's 1 to 2 weeks, but especially if they're thinking about making a postseason push and all that, you want Jones there, not like, oh, we pushed him to come back in a primetime game kind of thing. So, yeah.
But again, if your hopes are for the playoffs, this game would put you over the edge. So do you hold him out or do you take a shot? And again, it's all dependent on what the scans in that show and what the doctors decide for him and stuff like that. Because we know just as well that even though they say they want to play, the coaches will hold him if they feel it's not worth it.
Yep. So I get the feeling, unless he, like, if Jones limited at least is once this week, he's probably going to test it pregame. But if he's a DNP all the way through, that drops kind of substantially. But we'll see. Good news is Jair and Devondre Campbell were back on the field. And then for whatever, like I said, the reason to be optimistic about Savage is he was listed as a full participant, but that's the update we've got on the Packers. Obviously, only one day of listed participation. Monday, the team practiced, but they, because it wasn't one of the quote-unquote official practices for the week, they didn't have to list an injury report for that one. But up come the Chiefs, the defending NFL champions. I kind of have it in the notes, more talking about the defense, but this team is kind of like the 2010 Packers, honestly, where obviously this team has won it before, but you know, their offense, it's led by a future Hall of Fame quarterback in Patrick Mahomes, but it's actually their defense that's carrying them for the most part through this season, because their offense, it's still rated really well in terms of the advanced stats. DVOA still has them as the fifth best offense, but they're, by counting stats, they're only the 11th best scoring offense, 7th in passing, but 17th in rushing. And it kind of comes down to right now that what's really working is Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and then you're searching a little bit. Joe, outside of those two things, and I know that it's nothing to like, kind of like, stick your nose at or anything like that, but outside of Kelce and Mahomes, does anything on this offense really scare you, what the Chiefs bring to the table?
Not, I want to say not really, but we all know how things go.
Right.
I mean, we know the Marquez Valdes-Scantling routine. You know, he'll go like 3 weeks without doing anything spectacular, and then he'll have one big game. Well, you know, this is his revenge game, quote unquote. So,
and he had the bad drop the other week, so at some point he's going to have the bounce back game.
And this is where I kind of wish Jair does play, because I just put Jair on him and just let him have at it. I know MVS is taller than Jair, but Jair's play style, I think, would completely disrupt what MVS can do.
And even though MVS is taller, he's not a power forward receiver. That,
right.
Like those are the tall receivers that give Jair problems, but MVS isn't like a contested catch guy or anything. So yeah, I agree. Like you kind of match speed with speed over there and live with the outcome kind of thing.
And then maybe just, I don't know, maybe Tony and Moore on like slants and shorts, because we all know Barry's defense where he likes to keep everything underneath. And, you know,
and then you got to tackle.
Yeah. So I think that might hurt. And then, you know, the run game, I know you got Pacheco down here and he's a pretty decent runner. I'm not sure who the other running is. It still Clyde Allaire or whatever
he's
it is.
He's still there. He's kind of fallen out of favor. Not kind of. He's really fallen out of favor. I think if healthy, Jerick McKinnon, the former Viking, is like their RB2 slash like their scat back kind of player. But he's dealing with he missed today's practice with a groin injury. So that's okay. Another one to keep an eye on. Yeah,
but I think... just with Barry's defense, and you'll see it in my over-unders later, and we'll deal with it then, but I just think with the way he likes to keep everything underneath and, you know, like you said, tackle to contain, with Mahomes, I think he'll be able to pick it apart.
Yeah.
Now, I was kind of surprised that, and, you know, take this with a grain of salt because it is who it is, and even though he was a fan favorite for a while, I think he's lost a lot of luster on his stuff. But Kurt kind of said that he's feeling, you know, the feelings in the air that, you know, the Packers may pull this one off. So I don't know if that's the kiss of death or if that's a, you know, a thing to keep an eye out on. But I don't know. With the way the defense has been playing, I can see them being at least holding the Chiefs, and hopefully, you know, the offense can keep rolling the way it's been rolling. I do have to look. I think there is a chance of snow for Sunday, so this could be our first real test with the weather for some of the guys that we've been questioning weather-wise, and that kind of scares me a little bit.
Right, because all their draft, like, of their draft picks, Musgrave's out right now. Kraft actually played in a lot of snow because he's from the Dakotas. But then it's Jaden Reed, and then Wicks is from Virginia, where it gets cold in the winter, but not Green Bay cold. And so, yeah, it is that whole, like, what's your first experience going to be like? Yeah, I was looking at it when I subbed in on Pick 6 with Westendorf this week. And, yeah, the good news is that it's not looking to be a super windy game. Like, the wind is down in the, like, low, you know, like, the 3 to 5 mile per hour range.
Right.
But, and there is some precipitation in the forecast, but it looks like it'll at most, you know, and obviously this is, you know, 3 days out from the game. But as of right now, they're saying that there's chances for precipitation, you know, whether that's rain or snow, depending on the temperature, that's up to maybe kind of into the first half hour of the game, but not like throughout the game kind of thing. But
yeah, it's game, right? For some reason, I keep thinking it's a mid-afternoon. So according to my AccuWeather weather report, and my doggie's checking it out with me, it's during the day, it's considerable cloudiness, a couple of showers of rain or snow in the morning, followed by a shower in spots in the afternoon, high of 39. And then for the night, it's low of 29 with a 15% chance of precipitation. So, with 12 mile an hour wind gusts. So take that for what you want. So, I mean, this is our first real chance of any kind of precipitation happening. And I know we've been talking about how we're kind of interested to see how Carlson and Whelan handle it. But like you just said, you know, what about some of the rookies that haven't been through it yet, or some of the first year players that haven't been through it yet? This would be the type of game, if AJ Dillon is going to keep rolling and can play, this is the type of the game we would need him in.
Yeah. So like you said, it just adds more prudence to them kind of playing it cautious with him at practice this week. But kind of like you were talking about, you know, hypothetically, this is one of those games that Barry's defense is supposed to be made for. You kind of keep, you know, the whole idea is that you're pushing Mahomes to be patient and have to. But that's the thing, is like, if it rains or the field conditions aren't great, then that brings in tackling in space into even more question, especially against guys like Tony and Moore, who are like slot receiver types who make their hay with middle of the field routes and stuff like that when they catch the ball. I know that's been it's funny when we get to talk about another team, not the Packers, having to catch the ball. So hopefully that swings in Green Bay's favor, but I feel like they cashed that lottery ticket in against the Chargers a couple weeks ago. So the secondary is going to have to be on their game. I really hope that even if Savage is back, that we get to continue to see our Cyclone, because I really like seeing what he is in terms of a downhill striker. Hello, puppy. I've liked seeing what kind of a striker he is when he comes from depth to come and assist in making tackles. And this is going to be a big game for that, because like you kind of alluded to, you know, Mahomes is going to kind of just get the ball in space to his playmakers, and it's up to the Packers to bring him down and limit success for the Chiefs. So that's going to be the big name of the game. And while the Chiefs' interior O-line is stout, like, they have a great interior O-line with just three rock-solid players in there, their tackles are trash. I don't understand how or why a team that's pretty darn well run continues to sign or acquire and sign average at kindest best offensive tackles. You know,
well, let's face it, Mike, you got to get what you can get. And, you know, when the pool isn't great, you just sign who you can get. And, you know, that's, and I know I keep talking about the draft a lot the last couple episodes, but that's where drafting at the end of each round sucks.
Yes.
Because the later into the round you get, the harder it is to get a sure thing. And I just have to bring up, because you mentioned that she had to come up and say, get her time in the light. So this is Mavis.
Hi, Mavis.
But anyway, yeah, that's the whole thing right there. They have to go with what they can get. Now, my big thing is I don't know where Kansas City keeps getting the room in their cap for everything that they have or for everything they keep going for. But anyway, yeah, I don't. It's kind of like we were talking with Miranda the other day. If you look up the stats, Mahomes and Love are like neck and neck. So, and I think they're having the same problems. They can't get on the same page, or they weren't getting on the same page with their receivers, and their O-line hasn't been holding up well for them.
Yeah.
So it's going to be kind of like the Detroit game, that if they can get pressure on Mahomes, even though Mahomes is a better or more elusive than a Jared Goff, if they can get pressure on him, it's going to be harder for him to do the things he does.
Yeah, absolutely. That's going to be the key on defense is, you know, Mahomes, the great ones are always going to get theirs. But if Rashawn and Preston, like, because Preston had a good game too. If the two of them and, you know, Inogbare has been coming on and, you know, we didn't get to talk about it enough, but Van Ness, you know, he hasn't had any of the standout, like the highlight reel plays since, you know, he sacked Fields in week one. But I mean, that punt, that fake punt that he sniffed out, that's like everything that, you know, it's the like stereotypical thing you hear about every Iowa defender is like, obviously he's like turbocharged version of it, but assignment sure, didn't abandon responsibilities, but he has like the extra juice to make an impact play out of it.
Well, you know, his last year in college against Iowa State, he blocked two punts.
Right. So,
I mean, he's got the ability, but yeah, I get what you're saying. And, you know, let's face it. I think the stat is he's only playing 34% of the snaps.
Right.
So,
and yeah, he just doesn't because it, you know, it's not the same as 2019, because I don't think Rashawn broke like 20% of the snaps for most of the season, but you're seeing, you know, obviously most of the key pass rushing snaps are going to Rashawn and Preston. But when I think Van Ness, when he's had opportunities to make plays, he's, you know, more often made them than not. Or, you know, and that's the thing is, like, everyone looks for the counting stats that quote unquote matter. But to me, I haven't been discouraged at all by what I've seen on the field. He looks like a guy who knows what he's supposed to do. And is just like, he just needs the refinement, which is what we heard.
And I don't know if you had this in your scouting report on him, but it's the one thing that I said about him. He has all the tools in the world. He just needed to learn different pass rush moves. The only thing he had really going for him was the bull rush. As soon as he can get something else, I don't think he can be stopped. Or if he can refine his engage and disengage off the bull rush, he's going to be a Gary-like player.
Yeah. The trend is really... And that's what Mike Wall says all the time about Rashawn, is he's like, Wall, to his grave, will probably say he wishes that Gary would dump everything except for his bull rush out of his play. Because he said there's like maybe three guys that can handle his bull rush in the whole NFL. And he's like, so he goes, he doesn't need to do any of the other crap he does. He just needs to run. And he's like, he needs to just have like one counter when he faces one of those three guys who can really handle him. And like you said, Van Ness is like, just take the, you put them in black and white and they're like the same player kind of thing. So,
yeah. And I really think this would, if Devondre can play and Quay can play, I think this would be the perfect game to have them.
Yeah.
Because I think they're the two guys that could probably keep Mahomes in check from gouging out the defense with rushes. And we've seen it from Barry before. Maybe this would be the time to start pulling out a three linebacker set and have, you know, McDuffie, Quay, and Devondre out there. If granted, this is if Devondre and Quay both play. I think they said they were trending towards play. At least Quay was.
Quay isn't listed at all, so it's looking pretty good for him. So
yeah, so I mean, maybe it's time to pull out the three linebacker set, where you can keep one of them as a spy on Mahomes, and the other one can watch Kelsey, and, you know, then you can start limiting things. So,
yeah,
I mean, really, the if you look at anything, and you've said this already, and a lot of other people have said this, the only thing about this team that scares me outside of Mahomes is the defense.
Yep. So, speaking of that, we're going to get there. And what's, you know, previously it's been the Patrick Mahomes show, and it's just, can their defense just get enough stops kind of thing? But now, like I said, this is where they kind of remind me of the 2010 Packers, because, you know, their offense is, it's good. You know, they have a really good quarterback, but they have some parts that aren't quite running super efficiently. And it's their defense. So they're the eighth rated defense by DVOA. And their counting stats do back that up. So they're third in scoring, third in points allowed, 19th in rushing, and fourth in passing yards allowed. So that's kind of like what the Packers were, because the Packers were, I think, second overall, and then like something stupid against, oh no, I think they were fifth overall, second against the pass, and then like 16th or something against the run. So it's really similar in terms of, you know, how they rate and how they're constructed. So the thing that's, you know, really on my mind more than anything is their front. They you know, obviously Chris Jones is the linchpin of their front, but they have, you know, some pieces around him that really round out the ensemble, starting with two of their edges in former Boilermaker George Karloftis and a former Wolverine in Mike Dana, who both have turned into really good pros. Obviously, Karloftis is only in his second season, but it's going to be another stout test for the Packers to see how they stack up against one of the league's elite defenses. And the promising thing you have to look at is Love last week, no sacks allowed. And he was, you know, the Lions got some pressures, but overall the Packers O-line looks healthy. Elton Jenkins and Zach Tom are not listed at all on the injury report. And that's just huge news as we move through this part of the season. You got to have your best players healthy. On the second level, Nick Bolton is just, he's like Nick Barnett fully realized. He's just a human missile, human heat seeking missile, makes plays all over the place. And so he wears 32. So if you're kind of like, oh, that guy looks kind of big to be a safety, yeah, he's a linebacker. He's one of those guys who went back to wearing his college number after the number rules changed before last season. And then their secondary has become this really deep, really, really like just steady group. So, you know, they have Justin Reed on the back line as their safety. How Houston let him go and how the Chiefs got him, like you said, that's another one where I'm like, how did you sign right. this guy?
Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't understand. I know there's a lot of cap magic and everything else, but how do you pay the price you do for Mahomes, pay the price you do for Kelsey,
Chris Jones,
and still be able to afford everything else on the team, where we were worried we were going to not be able to keep a team because of the stuff that, you know, the right. players that the Packers were signing.
So it just goes, and obviously I know a big part of that is like Mahomes is in the like early to middle part of his deal. So like, they're like, you know, they're expecting they're going to extend him again. So there's not the whole, like the end of the tunnel is coming up and there's no way out of it, like the Packers were in with Rodgers, but it is,
you know,
kind of,
they're kind of in that, still in that stage where it's still hard to bring in other pieces.
Yeah.
Because you're paying a guy, what is it? $50 million a year or something like that.
Yep. So, but they've hit, like Reed was an absolute hit, and yeah, he was a guy I wanted Green Bay to go get, but yeah, Kansas City got him. And then the Chiefs have hit on some development guys. So Trent McDuffie, their slot, and L'Jarius Sneed, both are guys that the team, I believe they drafted both of them, and they've both been absolute studs for them. Sneed is their cornerback one, and McDuffie has just been dynamite in the slot for them since being a first-round pick before for the 2022 first-round pick for the Chiefs. So just a stout defense. And all the more reason that Green Bay is going to need all of it. You know, like we said, we believe that it sounds like Jaden Reed is going to play. It looks like Dontavian Wicks should be back this week.
I think he was completely off, wasn't he?
He's on, but for a knee, not for the He cleared concussion protocol, which is the big one. And so, just having as many weapons in the passing game that they can have is going to be absolutely paramount this week because, like I said, the Chiefs, their run defense isn't great, but unfortunately, the Packers' run game has been trash all season. So maybe, well, like you
this
said,
is where, like we kind of talked with Miranda, where they need to just pick a set of guys and not do the rotation.
Yep.
If you want Sean Ryan out there, throw him out there. If he starts sucking, then you can, you know, move Runyon in there or something. But don't just because, like you have on here, you know, not just the pass pro, but the run pro needs to be on their, you know, cross their T's and dot their I's or be on their P's and Q's because this isn't a slouch defense.
No. This is a very, very good defense. So, yeah, it's – and like I said, this is where I'm excited that the team has something other than, like, development and pride to play for. I want to see what they do in the primetime slot with, you know, like I said, their playoff hopes are totally gone if they lose this game, but – it would be a monumental win for this team to beat the defending champs in season. So it would be a statement win for this team that's really had statement wins the last 2 weeks. So, you know, just like Love continuing to build on the success that they've had over the past month, it would be really good. And the other side of that is, so we've talked about the guys who are on the field, and then it's the guy who's calling the plays. And Steve Spagnuolo is up there as one of the best coordinators in this league. You want the polar opposite to Barry's sit back and keep everything in front. Spagnuolo is a, you know, I don't want to say a carbon copy, but he definitely, the apple did not fall far from the tree that he fell. He is a Jim Johnson disciple who was the Eagles defensive coordinator in the early 2000s. Johnson, it was like Fritz Schirmer, whose attitude was, if I can't get to the quarterback, I'm sending a fifth person. And if I can't get to the quarterback with five, I'm sending a sixth person, and so on and so forth. So,
and I know that's what's been brought up since, you know, with Jordan's first start against the Chiefs, that's all Spagnuolo did was just send a ton of pressure after him. What was it? Westendorf said it was like 28 out of 35 snaps were,
under duress.
Hang on, she's gonna make a jump. Okay. But anyway, I know you guys kind of talked on pick six that maybe Spags won't do that now, but I have a feeling for the first part of the game
just
to see how Jordan reacts. If Jordan starts handling it, maybe he backs off a little bit and does something else. If he can't handle it, then he's just going to keep pumping it out there.
Right. Yeah. It's such a catch-22 because it's like, you don't, you know, especially because he's seen what the Packers' plan of attack was against the Lions, who obviously the Chiefs have a much better secondary than the Lions, but in the same vein, the Lions' defense is predicated on their front getting pressure and yada, yada, yada. So he's looking at it like, oh, is Green Bay going to take a shot early in the game? You know, are they going to do the, you know, are they going to kind of take a shot play on first down? So then it's like, do I play back and then pressure when I get a third down situation? Or like you said, do I just bring the house? And if I get burned, I'll adjust off of that. But, you know, like you said, until they prove that they can deal with it, why not bring the pressure? So yeah, I've definitely, I see it going a lot of ways. And honestly, it's one of those where I know it's a cop-out answer, but I think we're not going to find out until we see how it rolls out the first couple series of the game. And I just hope that the Packers are able to, you know, be on their toes with their pass pro, because this game is going to get old really fast if they can't block up that Kansas City front. Because yeah, Spagnuolo's not the kind to be like, oh, I got him a couple times and my team's up. He's going to keep sending pressure and he won't care if
he's going to do whatever works.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a big learning opportunity for Love. It's a chance to prove that he is definitely not the guy who started in Arrowhead a couple years ago. And that's where I am kind of curious how, like, the fact that that game was in Arrowhead, whereas this one is going to be in Lambeau, how much that changes, Spag's approach and stuff. And just Love being 2 years more mature, having a better grasp on the offense. But that's really it. It's going to be kind of straightforward. I think more than anything, it's going to come down to the lines of scrimmage, because based on what we've seen from Love from the receivers the past few weeks, I'm very, very pleased with where the offense is headed. So in order for him to kind of continue forward, it's just a matter of can the O-line protect him? And then on defense, what can the Packers front do to disrupt or pressure Mahomes on that end? So I think it comes down to a very meat and potatoes game this week.
Yeah, I mean, I this is definitely one of those that could go a multitude of ways. I mean, there's no right answer on what you could do for a prediction except for maybe like 48-0 Packers over Chiefs. That's probably the only thing that you could say is wrong. Otherwise, I could see it coming down to the wire. I could even see it going to overtime, or I could see it being, a blowout by the Chiefs. I mean, the only thing I don't see, unless one of the Chiefs gets, one of the major players on the Chiefs get hurt, like if Mahomes goes down and exits the
Right.
game, then I can't see the Packers blowing out the Chiefs. But any other way I could see going, like I said, overtime, going down to the wire, a blowout by the Chiefs, I mean, I could see the Packers winning too. But I just don't think it's like a blowout type win.
Yeah, there's more avenues for the Chiefs to win this game than there are for the Packers. I think that it's just hard to see the Packers winning a shootout with Mahomes. And like you said, unless he like turns his ankle walking onto Lambeau, it won't be a blowout for the Packers, just because that the Chiefs are too good of a team to fall into that kind of pitfall as long as Mahomes is healthy. But as we always do, we've got some yes no's for this week. I took the privilege of writing up some of these, so these are pretty, the first two are pretty straightforward. But yes no, is Savage activated for the game on Sunday?
Savage, yes. I'm gonna say he is. I like you said, LaFleur kind of hinted that had it not been a Thursday night or a Thursday game, he probably would have been activated last week. So there's no doubt in my mind that he's activated.
Yeah, same. I think that it's pretty, that combined with the fact that he was a full participant on the report today, I think that that's pretty clear sign which way they're headed. Stokes, yes or no, activated this week.
When's the due date for the activation? Is it like the day
Saturday.
before the game?
Yeah. So the roster deadline is Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern, or the day before whenever your game is played. But for standard Sunday games, it's Saturday.
I'm gonna go no, just because I think they'll give him another week, or like you said, if they do, he'll still be a deactive for the game.
Yeah.
But if they do, and I'm just throwing this out there, if they do, it's going to happen Saturday. It's not going to happen any day before
Yeah.
that. They're going to wait till
No,
the
absolutely
last
agree.
minute to make it happen.
I agree. It's probably not. It would, if he's fully healthy, it would be an absolutely huge boon for the Packers, but I don't, especially because he came off PUP and went right back on IR. I think they're going to play it absolutely super cautious with him this week.
For sure.
And then the last yes no that I added. You kind of alluded it to earlier. Do you think Quay will be the primary option to, and I know the Packers don't play a lot of man, but do you think that not Barry is going to align his defense so that Quay will have most of the primary initial coverage duties on Kelsey?
I'm gonna go with the shocker and say no.
Mm.
We kind of talked about this with Miranda on the last episode. I could honestly, if he's going to stick anybody on him, I could see it being Anthony Johnson Jr. just because Anthony's got the speed. Anthony, I'm not saying Quay doesn't, but I think he's more apt to use a safety in that position than he is his linebacker. Now, that's not to say Quay's not going to end up on Kelsey at any point during the game, because I think Quay could honestly handle it in a certain amount of way. But I have a feeling it's going to be in more of a zone where Quay will pass off to safety. And the only safety that I would trust right now, and I know it's weird to say since he's only been in a couple of games so far, is probably Anthony Johnson Jr., just because I think he's got the ability and he's not afraid to make the hit, whereas yeah. Savage has the ability, but he doesn't like to hit.
And we've seen him get manhandled by like Mark Andrews before, who's a very similar type of tight end to what Kelsey is. Right. I know Kelsey's not that kind of because he's like 35 now, but very similar type of tight end and stuff. And that didn't go well for Savage 2 years ago. So yeah, I'm really torn on this one, because this is the kind of assignment that you drafted Quay Walker for. Like, this is exactly why you draft him. But like you said, at the same time, it's hard for me to say yes, just because, kind of like I alluded to when I set it up, that Barry's defense is so zone heavy that even if he aligns over him, he's not necessarily covering him for the whole play kind of thing. So yeah, I think it's no more to semantics, but also because, and like you said, Johnson is a really good choice, because not only is he like tough and physical and willing to hit that we've seen, but also like his background is he is a corner originally. So he has like a lot of like man coverage instincts and ability that's just innate to him and stuff. So I could see them going that route. I could also see them maybe going the route of like sticking Owens on him or something, just to get like, you know, more of a physical veteran player and stuff. So I'm really curious to see how they're going to play the matchups. Like, do they just stick to sides of the field like Barry tends to prefer to, or are they going to go, just because this is one of those games where, because the Chiefs receiver room is so inconsistent, it's one of those, okay, Mahomes is going to get his, but you cannot let Kelsey be the guy to get 150 yards on you, kind of like it's one of those kind of nights. So like, if MVS goes up for 200, if Rashee Rice has his absolute breakout game as a rookie, it's like, okay, you live with that. But it's the whole, like, you know, Michigan just played Ohio State, and it's like, yeah, Marvin Harrison Jr. got his, but you can't let him be the reason you lose the game kind of thing. So it's kind of that same thing with Travis Kelce. And that's it for the yes-nos. What do you got for your over-unders this week?
I just did these real quick because I forgot all about them again. So my first thing is 200.5 yards for Jordan Love. I know he's had a pretty decent numbers the last couple of games. He's actually hit the 300-yard mark once. He was pretty close to hitting it again against Detroit. So, you know, we're going to go – and we just got done talking about how – Kansas City's defense is, so, you know, 200.5 yards for Jordan Love.
I'm going to say over, but like barely over, because the Chiefs pass defense, and I know they haven't played the greatest schedule necessarily so far, but they've been legit. Like, they've just squeezed the life out of the bad teams that they faced this year, and they're allowing just over 176 yards passing per game. So I think Love is gonna get over 200, but I don't think he's gonna push 300 unless he's just really breaking through to that next level. So I think he'll end up with like 220, 225 or something like that. And the main thing for me is he just plays a clean game outside of it.
I'm gonna go over just because I think the cynic side of me, or the pessimistic side of me, says that he'll get a number of chunk yards late in the game because they're trying to come back. So, you know, kind of like the Goff did against during the Detroit game, where,
or like how, you know, Love did the first Detroit game kind of thing.
Right. where they just gained a bunch of yards because they were trying to come back, so that kind of bulked up their stats. But, you know, really they're going to have to rely on the pass more, even though you wish they could rely on the run. So I'm hoping that they get schemed up and maybe start putting in a couple of those pop passes that Rodgers used to do on the jet sweeps, and that'll kind of boost up his stats a little bit. So the next one is 1.5 sacks for Rashawn.
Ooh, I'm going to say no, just because
over under.
Yeah. Or sorry, under. I'm going to say, I think he'll get one, but I don't know if he'll get over that, just because as much as I want to be super optimistic about the Packers, I just think that if this gets into a shootout, there's going to be a point where they fall behind and there's just not going to be enough pass rush opportunities. So I'm going to say under.
Well, damn you. I was hoping we were being different. I figured if I threw the Wolverine on there, you're going to go, well, he's going to
get Ohio State week anymore.
Because I was going to say, I was going to say under, but I think it's because they're going to prep for Rashawn, and that's going to open up for all the other pass rushers to get in there. And, you know, even though Mahomes has escapability, he still takes sacks.
Yeah.
So, you know, whether it's Preston, whether it's Van Ness start, you know, comes out and has a, you know, a breakout game, whether it's Enagbare, you know, or Enagberry, you know, whoever, or if Britton Cox gets us, you know, gets some playing time or whatever, I think it'll open up because they saw what Rashawn did against Detroit, and they're going to try to put all the resources to kind of squash that.
Yeah, I can see it. I can see that.
All right. So the next one is the big one, because it's going to tell what you think is going to happen for the game. 25.5 points given up by the defense.
I'm going to say over for two reasons. One, I really do think it, just because I do not trust Barry. And I, like, if I picked who I trust more, I trust Mahomes and Andy Reid over our trusting Joe Barry. And two, I've been saying for, you know, so many weeks that these better quarterbacks that they're going to play are going to light the defense up. And granted, it took Kirk Cousins blowing his Achilles out. It took the Chargers dropping four key passes. And it took Rashawn in the front having a Herculean effort on Thanksgiving to not let the Lions really carve up the defense. But I'm just going to say it's going to be over, just for the sake of, just kind of like how Sterling Sharp would always pick against the Packers when he was on NFL Network, for the same reason. So the two reasons is, one, I still don't trust Barry. And two, my shit-talking has seemed to work in some regards, so I'm not going to stop now.
I think I'm going to go under, but just slightly. I think it'll be like 24. I think it'll be like, if you said, Joe, you had to pick the score right here, right now, you know, or the doggy gets it, it'll be, I would have to say it's Chiefs, and it'd be like 24-21 or something like that.
Still cover the over, but ooh, Packers cover. Nice.
So the last one, and it's not an over or under, but it's kind of a goofy one because it's Sunday Night Football. You know it's going to happen if they're both in the friggin' stadium. Who do we see more of, Simone Biles or Taylor Swift?
Ooh. I'm going to say Swift. And the reason why is, so far this season, the way it's worked out is Simone has been in the stands with, you know, like she hangs out with the other, like, wives and girlfriends of the other players kind of thing. And they don't, whereas Swift, if she's at a game, she's in a press box. So it's much easier for, you know, like the especially because Simone's is so itty bitty, the camera crew isn't going to want to have to, like, find her in the mosh pit every time they go and look for her kind of thing. Whereas Taylor Swift, if she's in the box, like, you just point it up at the press box kind of thing. So
yeah, that's, but where they could do what they do with parents, though, is just take a camera and stick it right there.
That's
true. And but here's the thing that's going to be a deal breaker on this. is Simone and Taylor, I guess, were kind of having their back and forth on Twitter about, oh, well, we need to meet up, we meet up. So it's all possible Simone ends up in the box with Taylor.
That would be kind of cool, though, honestly. Like, some people get so worked up about this stuff. As long as I'm not missing plays, I really don't care if they do camera breakaways.
Well, see, that's my whole point. As long as we're not missing anything, but it does get sick and tired. You get tiring of, you know, the same thing over and over again. It's like, okay, come on, guys. I understand she's pop superstar. She's, you know, whatever. But we're at a football game. It'd be different if we were at a concert and she was
Was at least performing the halftime show or something like that. Right. Yeah.
So, you know, there's guys on the field killing each other, not some person sitting in the stands. But anyway, I'm going to say Swift just because that's the flavor right now.
Yeah. It's not an Olympic year this year. Right. So, yeah.
All right. Yeah. I don't know. Not that I really wanted. If there was a way I could, like, cut it all out or figure a way to sync up the radio broadcast with the TV, I'd do it.
Sounds good. But anything else, Joe, heading into this one?
Not really. I mean, I think we've hit the points home that we can. It just, I can't say one way or the other whether I'm looking forward to it or not, because it, like I said from the beginning of the season, this is a complete unknown. You know, usually when Rodgers was leading the team, it was, you know, we at least had an idea of what was possibly going to happen. But now it's a complete unknown because we don't know how the team's going to handle certain things.
Yep. So, like I said, and that's where I do like the fact that they're in the, you know, they're in control of their playoff destiny, because that's a pressure that they, you know, you can't simulate. So I do want to see how they're going to handle it. But we're out of time for tonight. We want to thank you for joining us for another opponent preview episode of the Ohana Packers Edition podcast. Please give us a follow on our Twitter accounts. I'm at Kawano Mike. Joe is at Iowa_Joe86. The podcast is at Ohana_Packers. Please check out our website, ohanapackers.org. We have all of our streams of the podcast, plus all of our blog posts up there. We've got a bunch of great writers who are, including the two of us, but a few guest writers who are providing extra work. Please follow the podcast on your favorite podcast apps. Like and subscribe on those apps. Please give us comments if you have positive or negative feedback. We appreciate it all. The Packers, once again, are heading into Week 13, looking to get back to 500, this time with the what would be a win over the defending Super Bowl champion Chiefs. Go Pack, go, and aloha.